study. We are here and ready for Bible study. We're ready for you. So come on in as we get ready to study 1 Chronicles. All right, I'm trying to see if you're there.
Well, let us know you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. We do bless the Lord and we thank God for his keeping power. But truly, this is indeed the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we're certainly grateful for the Lord sustaining us. And we're still in celebration mode as we closed out yesterday, Resurrection Sunday. But really, it's not the end, but it's really the beginning. And I tell you, all weekend long, we had some activities and some ministry opportunities for our members to engage in and for the community to be mindful of the fact that the cornerstone of our faith, the thing that we have put all of our emphasis around, lies in what happened early that Easter Sunday morning. And so we praise God because all across the land and country, all across this world, people were celebrating Easter. And so we praise God for the celebration that we had, the activities that we had, the Good Friday service, and all of the other events that happened that Saturday. And so we yet give God praise. Let us know that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for this study. As Lady Kim just indicated, we're in 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter. I believe there are about 19 verses there. Is that correct, Lady Kim?
I believe so.
And so we want to go ahead and get started. Somebody let us know we're getting a good signal and that is coming in clear as we prepare for this time together tonight. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for being our God. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence, and we come boldly and confidence, realizing that in you we do live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly that we are nothing without you. And so God, we pray now that even as we prepare for this time together tonight, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love you and we honor you. We pray for each person that's going to be a part of this virtual study and those who will hear this particular time together later by playback. And so, God, we pray for a special anointing to go forth even now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise
amen.
God.
Amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, we had a full weekend of various activities. Do you want to start with the Good Friday service and just kind of give us a little recap as we make our way to Resurrection Sunday, which took place on yesterday?
Amen. Like Pastor said, we had an awesome time on Good Friday as we had seven anointed women of the word to come and bring forth the seven last phrases from Jesus from the cross. As he hung there on Calvary, dying for the world's sins, Jesus uttered seven phrases. And each one of those preachers of the gospel did a phenomenal job preaching a word from on high. And then on Saturday, we had an awesome time as we did what we call Carry Your Cross. And we had numerous church members to pick up a cross, and we carried our crosses down Riverdale Road just to as a symbol to the community, or so the community could recognize and remember the awesome sacrifice that Jesus paid for us on the cross. And we got lots of horn honking and waves as we walked carrying our crosses. And then at the same time, synonymously, we had our prayer drive-through going on where people could just drive up to the front of the church, They didn't have to get out of their cars. They stayed in their cars, and we had people to pray for them, and then they would drive off. So we thank God that prayers went forth, and we know that God, He hears our prayers, and He answers our prayers. And then following that, we had our Easter egg hunt. We had a great time as the kids came, and we talked about what Easter meant, what the cross represented, and then we saw a short movie, and then while the teenagers hid the eggs, and then after that, the kids went out and for the Easter egg hunt. And so it was a joyous time in the Lord, and we had a marvelous time. But the big thing was Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Day. Pastor Murray preached a powerful word on Sunday morning, restoration out of devastation. And I think several times, you know, you talked about being restored through the devastation, through your devastation. But he had his scripture from Matthew, the 28th chapter, the first 7 verses, and talking about when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, they found it empty. Nothing but the grave clothes there. The stone was rolled away. And so the guards had become so afraid, they felt like dead men. But there was an angel there also that said, come see, for he is risen. He is, come see the place where he lay. He's not there, for he has risen. And go and tell the disciples. And so here we have the first evangelist going, running to tell of Jesus's resurrection. And so you had several points. You need to expound on that a little bit.
Oh, okay. You're going to flip the switch on me like that. Okay.
What?
But no, you're absolutely right. It was indeed a powerful time. It was just a reflection of the events that happened around the whole resurrection, that whole weekend, as Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection took place. And many times, I think, we fail to realize how devastating that was for the disciples. But as a result of what happened through their devastation, God was able to extend them restoration. Mm-hmm. And so it is with us, even in our journey and on mm-hmm. our road. Many times we can't identify with how Jesus was wounded and how he was bruised and how he was spat on and talked about. But we too have issues, and we have situations. We have death and we have trauma in our own lives that oftentimes puts us in a devastating place. And many times we are at a place of giving up, and even some who love the Lord and who have made a confession of faith feel like throwing in the towel. But the whole passage was just to encourage us and to let us know that because of the resurrection, we can be restored. And so when something is restored, Lady Kim, it's better than the original.
Yes,
it's better than what it was. And that's what God is doing for us as a result of the resurrection. And so we need to make sure that we understand where our power comes from and how important the Easter experience is for our faith and for what we believe about God and what we stand on, because our situations may never be as intense, but we know that God is well able.
Exactly.
The Bible says he can do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think. And so I was just trying to encourage people around their issues and to let them know that even as they go through devastation, they feel the same kind of anxiety and the same kind of pain that these disciples felt. But your pain will always produce something precious.
Amen.
If your hand
yes.
is in the Master's hand and you're trusting God and you believe in him, even in the midst of what you're going through, because all too often when we're going through, we focus more on what we're going through than the one who's able
to
bring us or to see us through. And so we have to trust the timing of God. That was the second point. He is indeed an on-time God. Somebody say he's an on-time God.
He's an on-time
because
God.
He may not come when you want him to, and he may not come right after you get up off of your knees, right after you make your plea, right after you leave the altar. But we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's always right on time. And God always shows up. And when God shows up, he shows out. Mm-hmm. And so our mandate as believers, our mandate as those who trust God is to hold on to God's unchanging hand and not to grow weary, the Bible says, in well-doing. For in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not.
Yes.
Don't faint. Don't throw in the towel. I don't know who that word is for even tonight, because help is on the way. And I know that's a phrase that we say often, but it's so true that God has not forgotten about us. He said, I'll never leave you, watch this, nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you always. So even when you think God is not there, guess what? He's right there by your side.
Thank you, Lord.
And sometimes the things that we think are difficult or hard to handle, man might think that it's impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. And so we have to believe God, and we have to trust his timing. And then the last point that I made was that you need to take your rest and watch God work. I just kind of, as I was preparing this sermon, thought about that Saturday, the emphasis mostly when we talk about the resurrection and the resurrection experience and the events are often on that Friday and what happened that Sunday. But that Saturday, Jesus lay in that tomb, and I just got a sneaky suspicion, Lady Kim, that he was taking his rest and he was watching God work. And so it is with us. We have to just wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and know that he shall strengthen our hearts. When you've done all that you can do, continue to stand, take your rest, and watch God work.
Watch him work.
And when God does a work, he does a work that's going to be permanent.
Yes.
And so we praise God for the fact that we don't have to allow the devastations of our lives to hinder what God is trying to get done, because restoration is nigh thee. He told Joel, he said, I'll extend to you the years that the locust and the caterpillar and the cankerworm and all of the host of the enemy have taken away.
Yes.
God says, I'm going to restore it all.
Yes.
I want to encourage somebody tonight and let you know that God is a God who restores.
Oh, God.
And so
Thank you.
Is well able to give you double for your trouble.
Oh, yes.
Somebody type that in the margin. Double for your trouble.
Double for your trouble.
And I tell you, if you trust him, even when it looks like things are not going to go according to your timetable or what you think ought to happen, know that God is still working on your case.
God is working it out for
you. Hallelujah. I feel something in the room tonight.
Preach today.
Thank God.
Yes.
So restoration out of devastation. So be encouraged. And know that all hope is not lost. God is working on your situation.
Yes, yes.
And so even after the sermon, after we had a powerful time in our Sunday school with our young people and with the dance ministry, our young people, we had some 11 people to come in rededication and some
God,
coming for the first time. We had families to come. We
had
couples to come.
Yes.
And did not our hearts burn on yesterday when we saw the power and the presence of God move in the sanctuary? And so we praise God for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. And so this coming Sunday, Lady Kim, we're going to baptize, I think, 3 or 4 people from this previous Sunday, where we had about 7 people to come. Look at God.
Look at God.
Somebody say, nobody but God.
Nobody.
That's right. Come on, type that in there and say,
nobody but God.
But God. Somebody help me give God praise. Give God some thumbs up tonight, because it was nobody but God. Somebody said, well, preacher, you preached a good word. No, I give God the praise, honor, and the glory. It was nobody but God.
Nobody but God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah
tonight.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And so we closed out our fast on Saturday night, and we had some people run after they fast and start back trying to catch up from what they missed. But you have to walk your way to get back to where you were. And many times when our body goes through the transitions of yielding ourselves to certain things, we'll not be in a hurry to pick up old habits, because you'll feel different if you stay the course and take your time and just walk back to through your fast as you close it out and not run to try to, because I ate a lot of stuff that I hadn't had a chance to eat yesterday. I had 3 scoops of ice cream. I normally get 2 and had a big piece of cake. So, but we have to take our time. Somebody say, take your time, Reverend.
Take your time. Don't overdo it.
That's right. That's right. And so we praise God for, it was a powerful weekend, an anointed weekend. And I want to say again, Lady Kim, how much I appreciate the volunteers. We had an overwhelming response from our volunteers, even the culinary, all the way to the youth advisors and those who were there to help set up and help be a part of all of the activities. And we had quite a few people that participated in all of the events that we had going on this past weekend. And so we praise God for the initiative that everyone put forth in order to make it a successful weekend, because the enemy was trying to thaw our plans. You remember last Wednesday, power was out and it was looking dim, and had 3-5 power lines to pose to go down right in front of the church. We were wondering and worrying if we're going to be able to have all of that in place for the Good Friday service. And last year, of course, we had an accident right there in front of the church. But God, somebody say, but God.
But
God stepped in.
Right on.
And we went right on with our service, and we give God all of the praise.
Yes, we do.
All right.
He's a good God.
So we're in First Chronicles, the 22nd chapter tonight. There are only 19 verses, and this is a very interesting chapter. We see David is already tied all of his pieces back together in terms of him acknowledging his fault and his failure. We see some things that happened last week as we looked at chapters 21. And then we notice now that David is really gathering and reinforcing, if you will, his desire for his son to build a temple. And so David is really humbling himself in such a way that he sets the tone in this chapter and let us know that we too need to humble ourselves. When we want to try to get something done and it's not for us to get it done, we have to put as much energy and effort into making sure that the person or whoever it is that's coming behind us have the resources necessary, have all of the things in place in order that they might complete the task.
Amen.
And one of the things I saw, Lady Kim, as you prepare to read, worthy vision outlasts those who cast them. Mm. And so David is sharing here, we see that he was putting in place something that was going to outlast him. His son, of course, built the temple, but he made sure that he set the vision. He set the tracks, if you will, for that to happen and for that to take place.
Amen. Amen. And so this 22nd chapter begins by David's charge to Solomon.
That's right. That's right.
Solomon, King Solomon, well, he's not king yet, but he will be following the death of his father. Solomon, David is giving Solomon a charge of what he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so David told Solomon, the Lord has said that you will build his temple. I have provided materials, and he ordered the leaders to help.
That's right.
So while David was alive, he set in place a mandate.
That's right.
For his son.
And a vision.
And
that's
a
right.
vision,
that's
yes,
right.
to carry on the work
mm-hmm.
that his father has started.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole lot in there, Lady Kim, that really helps us as leaders even today, that we have to really see the bigger picture, the larger picture. We have to, many times we focus in on ourselves and what we can get and what he can do to benefit us when we're trying to do a work or when we're trying to lead. But we need to see the larger picture and know that we have just as much responsibility mm-hmm. as laying the foundation for those who are coming behind That's us right. and leaving legacy for, we call them lamplights or spotlights mm-hmm. for people to see mm-hmm. as they make their way and continue the vision that is set.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So we're going to begin reading 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter. How many verses would you like for me to read? I think the first 5 verses, and then is that good?
Okay. Or, All right.
So when we begin, it's talking about David's charge to Solomon to build the temple. David gathers men, materials, and a vision, verses 1-5. David ordered all the residents, I'm reading from the Message Bible today. David ordered all the residents alien in the land to come together. He sent them to the stone quarries to cut dressed stone to build the temple of God. He also stockpiled a huge quantity of iron for nails and bracings for the doors of the gate. More bronze than could be weighed. The cedar logs passed counting. The Sidonians and Tyrians shipped in large loads of cedar logs for David. David was thinking, my son Solomon is too young to plan ahead for this. But the sanctuary that is to be built for God has to be the greatest, the talk of all nations. So I'll get the construction materials together. That's why David prepared this huge stockpile of building material before he died.
I think that's
the Message Bible goes through verse 6.
Okay.
So,
all right.
The last part of it said, then he called in Solomon, his son, and commanded him to build a sanctuary for God, for the God of Israel.
Mm-hmm. So, that's powerful, those first 5 verses of 1 Chronicles 22, and how David is clear in terms of vision, and he's also clear, in fact, knowing that he's not going to be the one to fulfill this task. Mm-hmm. And that has already been established several chapters back, mm-hmm. but he's not holding back in terms of how he is extending himself, even to the point where it will outlive him and far beyond his own life. So it is with us. That's the way we should look at things and not just be so caught up in what we can get for ourselves and not think about the importance and the significance of leaving something for those who are coming behind us.
Amen. And I admire David for not being selfish mm-hmm. because sometimes people want to take all the glory for
That's
themselves.
Right. That's right.
And so he could have said, you know, well, let Solomon, you know,
figure it out
as he goes
right,
along.
Right.
But he helped Solomon. He helped Solomon prepare for the great task that was before him. And so that's a lesson for us that we need to help the next generation prepare for what is to come.
That's right.
One of the things that we have done as people of God is we have left our generation to raise themselves. Mm. We have not provided an example, a model, or materials for them to be successful.
That's great.
So thereby they are running around like chickens with their heads cut off with no direction. We need to, like it says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's in other areas. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. But that also means setting a model, setting an example.
That's right.
Giving them the tools that they need to work with. This is what David has done for his son Solomon.
That's right. And David was wise enough to realize Solomon's inexperience. Mm-hmm. And so he placed around him mm-hmm. all of the resources to help him until he grew into what David had left for him.
That's
and
good.
So many times we look at the inexperience of our children or those who are coming behind us, and we don't think it's a worthy investment, but we have to make sure that we leave for them the resources necessary for them to grow into it.
That's a good
and
word.
Then push it on to the next level.
That's good, Reverend.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to leave the necessary resources.
That's right. That's
for
right.
For them to be successful.
That's right.
So
not leave everything now, but enjoy yourself now. Don't get it twisted. But we need to make sure, and go ahead, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead, you're right.
But we need to make sure that those who are coming behind us, not they're not trying to figure it out. They're not trying to reinvent the wheel. No, the mandate is already established. It's not going to be exactly the same way, because you know what happened with Solomon, don't you? He became the wisest man to ever live and the richest man to ever live. And so David had set everything in motion for him to start off on the fast track, if you will, in terms of what he had to do. Even though he saw his father's work, he saw the vision that was cast before him. He saw that he had surrounded him with enough leaders, mature leaders, to help him figure it out. And so he made some mistakes himself. But it was not like he didn't have anything to start with when after his dad had passed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a good word right there for somebody. Because so often, you know, as African Americans, we leave this earth and we don't leave our children anything.
That's right. That's
right.
You know,
and so that's why people continue to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Our people especially continue to struggle. That's why they have all these GoFundMe pages. You know, as sure as you're born into this world, you're going to have to leave here.
That's right.
And we know that from the start. So prepare now for your demise.
My.
And some people say, well, I'm going to party and live it up now because tomorrow is not promised. No, tomorrow is not promised. But, you know, we hope we see tomorrow. You know, we woke up this morning.
That's
and
right.
So we hope we're going to wake up tomorrow morning. So there is a tomorrow. A tomorrow is coming. What that holds, we don't know. So should we prepare for tomorrow? Absolutely, we should prepare for tomorrow. But we should also prepare for the not yet.
That's right.
And so we have to leave something, a springboard for our children to jump from so that they can be propelled and go higher. Not only higher financially, but higher in the Lord. Set some standards. Set some mandates. Train your children like Solomon did. Solomon explicitly told, David explicitly told Solomon exactly what he needed to do, how he should build the temple. And he said, I want it to be grand. And I'm going to make it grand. I'm going to allow you to make it grand because I'm going to provide the materials for you to make it
real. My. And so all of that had to do with David's perspective on God, because he realized the awesomeness of God, and he wanted something to house all of the necessary religious tools and the necessary religious things that he had gathered to be like none other, because he realized just how significant his relationship was with God. Y'all remember now, it was the same David who they said was a man after God's own heart. And so David understood how important it was to seek excellence, and also he set a mandate for not just doing shabby work, but making sure that what he presented for God, when you think of what God has done, when you think about how blessed you are, we ought not give God leftovers.
Amen.
We ought to give God our very
best.
Give up your best to the master.
Amen.
Somebody ought to help us tonight. We getting a little bit more word out than we see people saying amen. Yeah. But I'm telling you now, we need to give God our very best, because we want to short circuit God. And then when it comes time for us to be blessed, we expect God to do this grand thing in our lives.
Yes.
But God wants the very best. Give of your best to the master and don't hold back. Give not only your tithe, but give more than your tithe. Some of us we still struggling with trying to give our tithe to the Lord. But, you know, you got to make sure that you give God everything and even more than what he has asked of you through the 10%. Some of us can give 20% if the truth be told. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody, let me see some thumbs up right there. Amen. Why y'all not giving me no thumbs up on that one? And so we need to give God our very best. And God has been just that good to
just
us.
Just that good.
Hallelujah. We're in 1 Chronicles 22. We've just read the first five verses and we're about ready to shout over here. But we praise God for each of you who are listening and who are taking part of this, because David had clear perspective and he had vision. David saw the larger picture. He did not get so caught up in just me, my four, and no more. Mm-hmm. But he saw how what he was leaving for his son could be even greater than anything that he had ever done in his lifetime.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. And so I read 6 also, but I'll go back to 6 because I see where it stopped at in the in the Message Bible and read through verse number 19. That would be the end of the chapter.
Okay.
It says, then he called in Solomon his son and commanded him to build a sanctuary for the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, I want it in the worst way to build a sanctuary to honor my God. But God prevented me, saying, you've killed too many people, fought too many wars. You are not the one to honor me by building a sanctuary. You've been responsible for too much killing, too much bloodshed. But you are going to have a son, and he will be a quiet and peaceful man. And I will calm his enemies down on all sides. His very name will speak peace. That is Solomon, which means peace. And I'll give peace and rest under his rule. He will be the one to build a sanctuary in my honor. He'll be my royal adopted son, and I'll be his father. And I'll make sure that the authority of his kingdom over Israel lasts forever. So now, son, God be with you. Godspeed as you build the sanctuary for your God, the job God has given you. And may God also give you discernment and understanding when he puts you in charge of Israel, so you will rule in reverent obedience under God's revelation. That's what will make you successful, following the directions and doing the things that God commanded Moses for Israel. Courage, take charge, don't be timid, don't hold back. Look at this, I've gone to a lot of trouble to stockpile materials for the sanctuary of God. 100,000 talents, 3,775 tons of gold. 1,000,000 talents, 37,750 tons of silver. Tons of bronze and iron, too much to weigh. And all this timber and stone, and you're free to add more. And workers, both plentiful and prepared. Stone cutters, masons, carpenters, artisans in gold and silver, bronze and iron. You're all set. Get to work. And Godspeed. David gave orders to all of Israel's leaders to help his son Solomon, saying, isn't it obvious that your God is present with you, that he has given you peaceful relations with everyone around? My part in this was to put down the enemies, subdue the land to God and his people. Your part is to give yourselves heart and soul to praying to your God. So get moving, build the sacred house of worship to God. Then bring the chest of the covenant of God and all the holy furnishings for the worship of God into the sanctuary built in honor of God.
Wow, wow. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
Because David is really stretching out here, and he's making sure God has already instructed him that he was not going to be the one David had a fighting spirit. Mm-hmm. He was a warrior. He was a bulldog, if you will. And people's sometimes they place a reputation around you based upon what they have seen. And Solomon was one who was low-key and had a meek spirit. And it was clear that the people were going to have a difficult time, and God had already instructed David in terms of all of his faults and failures and how he had went out to battle and all of the things that he did, even though God forgave him on numerous occasions. God was making it clear that, David, you're not the one. And so David put all of his resources behind his son. And not only did he put his resources, he made sure that those who were leaders understood the task and how important it was for them to support Solomon in his efforts to build this temple for God.
Amen. And you know, I just try to imagine how Solomon felt. Mm-hmm. You know, it must have been overwhelming for him to even imagine to begin building the temple for God. But then again, he must have felt a sense of confidence also, because he had everything he needed.
Right, right.
And one of the things that David said is, you're welcome to add to it. So I'm sure he embellished it once he got finished.
He put his own touch on it.
He put his stamp on it. Yep. He put his mark on
the
temple. But I am so thankful that David wanted to leave a legacy. And that was David's legacy, to his order to build the temple and make it grand and luxurious, that everybody who saw it would talk about it.
That's right.
And not only would they talk about its beauty and its grandeur, but they would talk about the God that they served.
That's it.
And so it's just amazing, this chapter, and how David prepares his son Solomon for the task.
That's good. That's good. You know, there's so much intertwined in this particular chapter that really helps us to also have perspective, and also the importance and the significance of vision. You know, in our Leadership Institute, one of the first things we talk about in that first session is making sure that the leaders have a vision and a mission statement themselves. Because all too often, when we haven't set in motion something personally, it's very hard for us to get on board corporately.
Amen.
And so each leader, and those of you who are listening tonight, if you haven't heard this, you need to have your own personal vision and mission statement about what you're trying to accomplish. Write the vision. That's what God told Habakkuk. Write the vision, make it plain, so that he who runs with it may be able to know how to handle what he's given him. And so many times, I think, when we don't have anything written down, we just kind of fly by the seat of our pants. And we get up in the morning and say, well, whatever happens, happens, you know. No, you got to have motivation and intention, and you have to have some guiding principles, if you will, to help you 5 years out, 10 years out, you know, if the Lord wills that we live that long, at least be working towards something and trying to accomplish a goal and a vision. Mm-hmm. And not just haphazardly go through life just accepting whatever comes your way.
Amen. You know, there's an old story about, and I've mentioned this in a sermon before, that a man used to come out on his porch every morning, mm-hmm. and just shoot up in the air, you know. And all the kids in the neighborhood thought he was crazy, because every morning around the same time, he would come out with his shotgun and just shoot up in the air. So a group of boys were talking, and they said, I dare you to ask him why he shoots up in the air like that every morning. So one young man got up his nerve, and he said, hey, mister, why you come out on your porch and just shoot up in the air like that every morning? He said, I'm just hoping something to fly overhead, and when I shoot, I hit it, and I have something for dinner. So that's a story to let you know that if you want to catch something, If you want something significant, you got to aim at something.
That's good. That's
you got to have. You got to wait. Wouldn't it be better if he saw something flying overhead and aim and shot at it?
That's right.
He would more likely have caught something or shot something than just going out on the front porch every morning shooting up in the air.
Absolutely.
So that's just like drawing a target. You know, you have to draw a target and shoot for that, aim and shoot at that target. I know when we played darts, you know, I haven't played darts in a number of years, but there's a circle, that bullseye in the middle. And what you're supposed to aim for is that bullseye. You know, and sometimes you hit all around that bullseye, but every now and then you hit it dead center. Boing! And that's how life is. You got to keep aiming for whatever it is that you want, that God has put on your heart. And guess what? Sooner or later, boing, you're going to hit dead on the spot.
All right. You said a mouthful there, Reverend. You're absolutely right. So we have to make sure that we have vision and we have mission, and then that we're clear in terms of the larger picture and making sure that you might not have any children, but you have some surrogates. Mm-hmm. You might have somebody who's watching you from afar. Mm-hmm. And so you got to make sure that you invest in those who are yet coming behind us, so that legacy will be intact and that they too will have a roadmap, if you will, for what they are supposed to achieve in the future.
Amen. Amen.
And so part of what, here's a couple of things, Lady Kim, that I think will be key for us as leaders. Mm-hmm. We talked about the vision in the mission statement, but leaders particularly, they need to, it says they look past their own future into the generation that follows.
Amen.
And so we have to look beyond ourselves.
That's right.
And then another thing here is that we have to, leaders see what must happen long before others are ready. Mm. And so sometimes what God might be telling you might not make sense to nobody. Mm-hmm. But you see something and God has given you a vision, and you have to go ahead and cast that vision, because many times leaders see before others.
That's right.
And then the picture is much bigger for leaders who are locked in and tied into what God is trying to tell them. They have a larger than unusual vision of what can happen. Mm-hmm. And so that's not for everybody, mm-hmm. but sometimes people have been way ahead of their time, you know, in terms of mm-hmm. their thought processes, their just like there's so many people in all different areas, from religion all the way through the musical, and even in sports, you can just run the gamut. It's not just African Americans, but it's across the board. Mm-hmm. And people have almost labeled them or categorized them as geniuses, mm-hmm. because they saw, just take for instance Microsoft and all those fellas, mm-hmm. and
Apple
and all of that. They saw Amazon, they saw way down the road, you know. Mm-hmm. And then some of the greatest preachers we have, you know, Martin Luther King had a vision, yes. Far beyond, that outlived him. And here it is, some 60, how many years? It's
about, almost 60, 55
years, I think. We're still talking about the vision that he had, mm-hmm. when he was 33 years old. Yes. Was he 33 when he died? 36?
I think he was 33. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we have to make sure that we see the bigger picture, that we cast vision far beyond ourselves, and that we are in tune with what God is saying to us, even when it doesn't make sense to everybody else.
Amen.
If God mm-hmm. said it will happen, then it shall come to pass.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
And one thing we can't be afraid of is to speak truth to power.
That's right.
And when I mean speak truth to power, sometimes, you know, you're afraid to speak what God has given you.
Right, right.
You're afraid to put God's vision. There's something about an audible spoken word, when you put it into the atmosphere, you can think it all day. Mm-hmm. You can think it to yourself, but until you actually speak it, until That's you right. write it, That's put right. it down and get it out into the atmosphere, does it actually begin, the creative process begins to take shape.
That's good.
When other people know about what God has done other than you, and you put it in an audible tone, then God begins to move on your behalf.
He starts lining things up.
Fred Smith with FedEx. That's absolutely.
Right. Absolutely.
So having a vision, speaking that vision, that dream into fruition, and then putting some muscle and some work behind it.
That's right.
To make it come to fruition is what God needs. And so God is looking for us to continue to carry the bloodstained banner and run with the visions that he's given us.
Hallelujah. We got to see the big picture, big picture. Big Somebody picture. Type big picture.
Yeah.
Got to see the big picture and just believe God. Because if God gives you a vision, then he's going to put everything in place necessary for the vision to be fulfilled. That's right. And you will receive confirmation along the way. But one of the things I think has been the detriment of a lot of people, Lady Kim, they start talking to the wrong people about the vision.
They're dream killers.
And they just knock it all. They just go all the way back to zero.
Yes.
Because they have ran into somebody who no doubt is jealous, or they are not able to comprehend what God has shared.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to those kind of people, you end up spinning your wheels and staying in a revolving situation because you're listening to the wrong people.
Amen. That's right.
But when God gives you vision, don't let nobody kill what God has given you and birthed in you.
Mm-hmm.
And be clear, because many times people can't handle what God has given you, and you have to make sure that you try the Spirit by the Spirit, and make sure that you surround yourself with people who can embrace and push you forward.
Yes.
And not try to stagnate you and right. keep you in a place where they can, they almost like want to keep up with you.
Right.
But see, real leaders that God has birthed vision in and have given them an extraordinary word or an extraordinary thing to do, you have to surround yourself with people that are willing to embrace that and really willing to support what God has given you. I see Dr. Crystal, our regional minister, on the line, and that's right in line with where she is in terms of the work that she's doing. She's a trailblazer, and she's one of those who have set forth vision, and many times these dream killers step in and try to hinder the work that she's doing. But I'm so glad that God blew a wind to Memphis through Dr. Crystal, and how much we love her and how much we support her. And she's one of those people that's ahead of her time.
Amen.
And the work that she's doing, I'm telling you, she's opening some doors that have been locked for a long time.
Yes, God.
And so that's the kind of people that we're talking about.
Surround yourself with those kind of people.
That's right. That's right.
People who are go-getters, dream setters. They press forward. Sister Bernice Tate said, have some goals and see your vision.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, we talked about shooting for those goals. And Dr. Q said, when we were talking about stay away from those dream killers,
mm-hmm.
her former pastor would say they wouldn't give a crippled crab a crutch to cross a crowded cul-de-sac.
That's a lot of scenes in there.
Yes, but I get the picture right there. They wouldn't give a crippled crab a crutch to cross a crowded cul-de-sac.
My. Isn't that something?
Amen. So watch out for those dream killers, those dream. But you know what? Also, that as leaders, we have to surround ourselves with people who are strong in the areas that we're weak. Because
okay.
we
That's good.
Do not know it all.
That's right.
We do not have expertise in every area.
That's right.
I ain't good at math, y'all. You know, I can count. I can do 1 + 1. I might be able to do my little timetables. I might be able to divide, you know, multiply and divide. Oh, that's the same as timetable, right? See?
Don't listen to it.
But when it comes to that algebra and geometry and trigonometry, y'all can have that stuff, okay? What I'm saying is, if I need somebody to do my books, I'm going to get an accountant or a bookkeeper, you know, because I can't do it right.
Right.
The government would be all over
me. That's right. That's right.
You know, if you are not good in planning, get an event planner.
That's right.
You know, there are people who are experts in the things you are not. Now, God has given us all some gifts.
That's right.
We are experts in our own right in some area. But he surround yourself with people like David did.
David gave him
the best of the best. It said David gave Solomon the artisans and the stone cutters and the carpenters, and he got all the wood and the timber. You know, you have to be resourceful and know where to get the best stuff from.
The best logs.
Got the best cedar. You know, mm-hmm. He had so much cedar and gold. And
the best nails.
He had to get people to make all that stuff. And David knew it was going to take some time to do it. So in David's reign, David began to gather all the needed supplies that Solomon would need in order to build a grand temple for the Lord.
My. Look at God. So it is with us. Dr. Q said it right. Iron sharpens iron. And so even when you're secure in what God has given you in terms of vision and mission and direction, don't let nobody steal your joy or hinder you from achieving that which God has set in motion, because the word decrees that he who has begun a good work in us is able to perform it even to the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's able to bring that thing to pass.
Yes.
And so we can't grow weary. We can't get sidetracked by side issues and by people who don't completely understand. Now, that's not to say we have to dismiss people or put them out, but you can still have people around you once you see that spirit,
mm-hmm.
and know that that's not the kind of company you need to keep. The Bible doesn't say this, but birds of a feather flock together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always like to be a step in front of, you know, those whom I'm leading. And then I like to surround myself with visionaries who are thinking far more than what I'm thinking mm-hmm. about. And if those of you who have noticed, the people who have been coming through, I mean, those are, all of them are visionaries. And you know, we glean from each other and we encourage each other in terms of what we're trying to do for God, and not try to hold each other back or try to pour water on people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is personally, and you might not be even at that point, but make sure that you surround yourself with people that support you and that encourages you and that pushes you forward, and not try to keep you locked down and locked in and mm-hmm. hemmed up and speak negative to you. No, that's not what you want. You have to bind that spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And call those things that be not as though they already are. You say, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm coming out of this mess, I'm going to be an achiever, I'm going to be a winner. There's an eagle on the inside of me. I wish I had about 15 people who would help me tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And you say, I'm going to do what God has commanded me to do. And even though I feel like I don't have the kind of people that's around me that I need, I pray that God will give me the people that I need to help me fulfill that which he has set in motion in my life. And I believe God, well, that's a prayer that many times we don't pray, Lady Kim. And I believe that God will set in motion people and start directing people, and you'll connect with people who will help you push forward and help you birth that thing that God has. What do they call them? Spiritual midwives?
Yes.
Is that what they call
them? Yes, the birth something. Yes.
Uh-huh, to help you birth that thing. God will put them in place. We have not because we ask not. We got to ask God to to do what we need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that God is going to fulfill some things in your life. And he's going to, you know, everybody's not in your life for eternity. You know, there's
that's
some
true.
In there
that's
for a
true.
Season. And what, how does that say?
A season, a reason, or a lifetime.
That's right. That's
yes.
right. And so you have to be able to discern that in terms of what God is yet trying to get you to fulfill. And I think even with David, as he prepares to wrap up his ministry, he had enough of God in him to understand how important it was for him to leave a legacy in place and for a roadmap to be there for his son to continue what he had started.
Amen. Amen. That's good. So,
our time is getting
time
away
is
from
up.
That's right. Any other comments in the thread that we need to lift up, Lady Kim?
I don't see any more comments. I think the last one was, you know, that iron sharpens iron, and
mm-hmm.
it most certainly does. And again, we need to surround ourselves with people. And I think, you know, just to bring this to a close, I think it's important that we need to prepare our future generations for what is to come and give them some tools.
That's right.
Some
That's
things
right.
they can use in order to build their future.
Absolutely. Okay. So this 22nd chapter is all about the temple that the Lord commanded David mm-hmm. to build. And David said that the temple is the house of the Lord and that it's an altar of burnt offerings for Israel. And he commanded those who lived among the Israelites to cut stones in order for them to be able to build this house.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Dr. Q said that she speaks spiritually rich folks into her life.
That's
Amen.
It. That's
we
it.
All need to speak spiritually rich folks into our lives.
Absolutely.
Amen. But we also need to be a spiritually rich person in somebody else's life.
My.
Amen. We don't get all we can and can all we get and sit on the can. You know, it flows. It flows from one person to the next. So when we get spiritual insight, it's time for us to pass that spiritual insight on to people who may not have the type of spiritual insight that we have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any prayer requests coming through, Lady Kim, as we prepare to close out tonight?
Well, while they're putting prayer requests in the chat, we have several people that we need to lift up on our prayer list. We have Sister Daphne Robinson. She has a double prayer request. She had surgery on this past week, and she's recovering well. I chatted with her on this morning. So she's doing well and asked for our prayers, but she also needs prayers because she lost her aunt, and that funeral was this past weekend.
That's right.
So we are praying for Sister Daphne Robinson. And then we want to pray for Mother Pearl Manning. Mother Pearl fell and broke a few ribs. I chatted with Sister Georgia Rucker. She says she's getting better day by day, but she's still very, very sore. You know, there's nothing you can do for broken ribs
mm-hmm.
except to sit still and let them heal. So we're praying for Mother Pearl Manning. We're also praying for Sister Anita Larkin and the loss of her brother. That funeral was this past weekend. We're lifting up Sister Juanita Sawyer as she lost her brother. And we're praying for her that a memorial service was also held in Seattle, Washington. We want to lift up the family of Sister Emma Burnett and the loss of her sister-in-law. And that funeral was held not this past weekend, but the weekend prior. I did not know it had already taken place, but I chatted with her and she let me know that it had already taken place. And Sister Brenda Smith is loss of her uncle, and she is with family as we speak in another state. So we just thank God for each and every one of you who continue to lift up our sick and shut in our bereaved in your prayers. continue to lift up Sister Alice Howard as well as her husband. They need your prayers for they've been ill. And also Brother Willie Watkins. I don't know if he's still at the Jewish Rehab Center. And continue to lift up Sister Lena Jones. Sister Lena Jackson. Sister Lena is at home recovering from heart surgery. Please pray for Ms. Janine Harper. Ms. Janine Harris and her family. Her mother was placed on hospice care this week. Mm-hmm. That is from Sister Deanna Pirtle. Is asking for prayers for Ms. Janine Harris, whose mother was placed on hospice this week. That's a hard thing when you place a person is placed on hospice because you know the end is near. We want to lift up Brother Martez Jones, mm-hmm. as he continues to fight his fight, his health challenges. Brother Jerry Perkins, Sister Joyce called early Sunday morning to let us know that Jerry, she had to take Brother Jerry to the emergency room, but they were back home early Easter Sunday morning, and she was so sorry she couldn't make it. She had planned to bring Jerry to church for Sunday worship service, but they had been in the emergency room all night. But he's doing well. They gave him some medication. He's doing much better. And we want to lift up Sister Lily Jones as she prepares for surgery, I believe, on Wednesday of this week. So we're lifting up Sister Lily Jones. All right. We thank God for each and every one of you.
Okay. Will you close us then, Lady Kim, with a word of prayer, please?
We do have one more thing. We have new members class this coming Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. So we need all of our new members to meet us at church on this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. All right, let us go to God in prayer. Oh, one more thing before we pray. And also the Sunday school is having a tasting tour. So meet us Sunday at 8:30 a.m. for the tasting tour that Sunday school is going to have. It's going to be amazing. Some awesome food to share and an awesome word from the Lord. Looking forward to that Sunday school food tour. Let's pray. God, we thank you today. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We thank you, God, for your awesome word, God, who is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our pathway. God illuminates the way and it gives us direction. So we thank you for a clarifying word. We thank you, God, for every person who's participated in this Bible study on tonight. We pray a special blessing over our regional minister and president of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Tennessee. We ask that you would continue to undergird her, God. Give her wisdom and give her grace. Give her mercy. Watch over and protect her, God, from any evil plot or plan that's trying to come against her. We pray, oh God, and we speak against any evil thing or thought or plot, oh God, that has tried to hinder the work that you have designed for her to put forth. We thank you, oh God, for all the people who have joined in this Bible study. Continue, God, to bless each person as they hear your word. Let us go forth and do your word, oh God. We speak peace to those who have lost loved ones. We speak healing to those who are sick. We speak life into those who are spiritually dead. We speak recovery to those who are going through. We speak prosperity to those who need financial support. We speak an abundance, an overabundance to those, oh God, who are in need. And God, we just thank you that we are going to have a testimony
through our test. Yes, God.
We thank you, God, that we know that you are a need-meeting God. And so, God, we trust you to meet every need on our behalf. We ask, oh God, that we continue to be obedient to your word as we go forth from day to day. Bless us and keep us as we go throughout the remainder of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we thank God for each of you. Look, we hope you have a fantastic rest of the evening. and you be encouraged as you make your way.
Amen. Night, everybody. Thank you. See you next Monday. Bye-bye.